I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
The disenfranchising bills were another case in point. The Dortch bill, for example, called for a secret ballot that carried printed names in lieu of party symbols, outside assistance to those who could not read, and required a poll tax. Similar legislation had already been passed in several northern states with the purpose of excluding ignorant, gullible, and easily led voters, both black and white, from the electorate. The idea was welcomed by a number of elite blacks, including Frances Ellen Harper and W.B. Du Bois, soon to become Harvard's first black to be awarded the PhD. Harper advocated educational and moral requirements for voting, and Du Bois disputed the need for a federal elections bill. Noting in the New York Age, when you have the right sort of voters, you will need no election laws. But purifying the electorate, as it was called, especially in the South, was calculated to exclude black political power, even if race was not mentioned per se. In Tennessee, for example, at the time of the Dortch bill, when it was passed, 54% of blacks and 18% of whites could not read. Moreover, to appease white rural voters, the bill applied to only those areas where a sizable black vote was held. Shelby and Davidson counties, which included Nashville and the cities of Knoxville and Chattanooga, still to struggle for political restitution before getting the literacy numbers up appeared to be putting the proverbial cart before the horse. Many black opinion makers, including Ida, entangled in myths of their own, still saw the voting issue in terms of class rather than race. They too were concerned about a black electorate increasingly made up of less educated, gullible migrants who were inundating the cities. Before the referendum, the pro-temperate CME Christian Index out of Jackson, Tennessee, opined that most blacks would vote for prohibition if left alone, but worried that they would be used as an unwitting tool by both parties with no access to an objective analysis of the vote. The black elite had reason to believe that its worst fears had come true. The simple, irresponsible right to vote does not of itself alone constitute a true citizen. Wells wrote in the Christian Index in June 1889, 2 months after the Dortch bill was passed. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod, and we're live on a Monday, ready to do some podcasting. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. The official weapon of the show is
Taser,
and the unofficial sport
Bullet
and Bullet Ball Extreme. And that excerpt is from Ida, A Sword Among Lions, by I believe Paula Giddings. And that talks about the right to vote and right around prohibition. So black people, black men, had earned the right to vote, and women of any race could not vote, I believe, at the time. And so what started here was that black people started to be blamed for the lack of prohibition passing in the South.
Ain't we always to blame for some bullshit that ain't got nothing to do with us?
Right. And then of course there was this monstrous, well, we're letting all these new people vote. And while before this, we weren't as concerned about the education level of the people voting, suddenly now that black people had a right to vote, it's time to start checking these IQs, guys. We gotta make sure they're smart, you know? We gotta make sure you can read. So one of the things they would do is, like they said, they kind of changed it from your party affiliation with the symbol of the donkey or the elephant or whatever it was, and they switched it to, here's just their name. No, we're not gonna put that Democrat symbol, because you know, if you can't read, you can go by the symbols and be like, I want the Democrat or I want the Republican. Well, and I believe this is back when Republicans was more on the side of black people, but yeah, it's like you look at this shit and then, you know, they're like, take that off. You have to read the whole name of the person and that's how you vote. Well, as they say here, 54% of black people couldn't read, 18% of white people couldn't read. So you're immediately, you know, sacrificing your own whites, by the way, 18% of them, but you're immediately saying, okay, cool, this is a way to get rid of half of the people that are even black and can vote. It only applied to the places where black people were. So other places in the state that maybe you're illiterate, but it's only white people that are illiterate, and that's it. And
it didn't matter.
Then they're not even going to enforce it. They're not. That's okay. We just want to make sure black people don't get the vote. You know, and this is, you know, this is a long time ago. And at the same time, you know, you have people, this is 1889. You have people today still pushing like this. Don't worry about voting shit. You know, the black vote doesn't mean nothing. You know, it's okay if you don't feel like voting. Don't worry about it. Find another way. You know, that kind of shit. And they've been trying to suppress our vote since the second we got in before, right? And in creative ways. Like, it's never just a straight up, like, you know they can't just say black people can't vote.
Right.
You know, so there's always some voter ID, close it on Sundays, let's make the poll hours less so that people working don't have a chance to come in and vote. Then black people gotta work, you know, we don't have jobs, you can normally just take time off and stuff in certain positions. The other thing I liked about this passage, even black people, and this is something that happens today, even black people fall for this class over race bullshit, where like it's a class problem, not a race problem. You know, why we keep attacking class? It's about class, guys. We got to get, you know, somebody that talks about class. That's the only type of, you know, for even if they don't know what they're talking about with race, as long as they're talking about class, we'll be fine. And, you know, like I said, this is why Elizabeth Warren was my favorite candidate this season of voting. The 2020 primary.
2020 season.
Yeah. She was my favorite because she intertwined both. I think both are important, but when you're black, race is more important than this class shit, because your race and class are inextricably tied. And you can't, every time they've tried to push a class initiative, white people got it, black people didn't. Every time. None of this shit is new. None of it's like, all the stuff that people are telling you is these revolutionary ideas. They're not revolutionary ideas. They're ideas that we've been trying to get implemented for years. Some of them even got implemented and we got frozen out, which is why we're still at the bottom going, hey, we would like to have blank. They always found a way not to give it to us, you know? The other thing I thought was interesting in this same chapter, they talk about how, in nearly 50% black Memphis, where 2,399 have voted for prohibition and 6,821 have voted against prohibition. Now, prohibition is outlawing of liquor. And so down south, especially, it's considered a vice. The women's temperance movement had started, and it was a vice. Alcohol really fucked America up. Look up, go watch Ken Burns' documentary on prohibition if you guys want to see it. But it had fucked people up. Like, alcohol is a drug. We don't really talk about it. It's the acceptable drug in America, right?
Right.
But it's a drug nonetheless. And at this time, people were, you know, it was being blamed for a lot of stuff. Men coming home beating their wives, men not coming home at all, getting addicted, being lazy, you know, all that kind of shit. So they were like, we need to pass prohibition, right? And prohibition is much like pornography, in that in public, everybody was, yeah, this alcohol is bad, we need to cut this shit out, people need to stop drinking. You know, we're very respectable here, we go to church and we work and we come home and we eat dinner with our families and we go straight to bed and we wake up and do it in the morning again, you know, like how everybody presented in public. But the truth of the matter is, saloons were filled always,
right?
People were constantly making their own moonshine and shit, drinking. You know, to the point of excess all the time. And so in private, in that voting booth, people, once they got behind that you know, that private situation, this like, well, now I can vote. No, I don't want to give up alcohol. That was just for out there. So they were running through this situation of people, especially the men. Remember, men were the only ones that could vote.
Right.
So you had men that were like, I would give up this drug. I understand. It's terrible. We shouldn't be doing this. And then they get back there, you know, away from their wife who can't vote, and they go, yeah, I want to drink. So what did white people do? They blamed black people. They said, well, no. We're all upstanding white Christians. We're obviously voting for, you know, prohibition.
but y'all are the largest elective, like the largest percentage. Mm-hmm. Nobody else can really vote. Mm-hmm. The fuck y'all talking about?
Meanwhile, they were also saying, you know, the reason we have to get rid of it is because the blacks, guys. The blacks are the ones who are really bad on the alcohol. They get the alcohol. They're whistling at white women. They're raping them. Okay? They're violent.
They love that one.
They're like, right. And so they were like, it's really them that can't handle the alcohol, but we need to ban it because it's just really bad for everyone, but especially the blacks. But then when it came time to vote and it lost, prohibition lost, they were like, oh, see what it was? The blacks went in there and they all were like, no, we love some alcohol. We for alcohol. We
the smallest percentage. Right.
We're gonna ignore all the black people that have lobbied against alcohol, because black people are also on that against alcohol train, especially black women in public. But and of course, black people being extremely religious in the South, there was a lot of fire and brimstone, we got to get off the alcohol shit. But white people still use them as a scapegoat, sans proof, didn't need any proof. So yeah, voted against it. The biracial bipartisan administration of David P. Hayden had become too riddled with Republicans and Negroes now that reforms and investment were firmly in place. Now Republicans at the time, once again, were on black people's side. Mm-hmm. So they were like, look at your terrible government, y'all got Republicans and blacks. Taxing district officials became a target of a witch hunt to oust corruption within their ranks. In 1888, Hayden himself was indicted for malfeasance, ostensibly for taxing gambling and prostitution establishments instead of closing them. In less than 2 years after the referendum vote, Tennessee, which had had the most competitive two-party system in the South during the 1880s because of black voters, became a one-party state dominated by Democrats newly united on the race issue. So like, they were using black people and the hate of black people more specifically to unite their entire party and unite white people against us, and then blame us for everything while still keeping and profiting off of these vices, off of the alcohol, off of the prostitution, all of that stuff, you know. So it's just interesting, like when you look at the history of voting in this country. And this is really on my mind today because I just watched this thing called The Great Hack. It's a documentary on Netflix. It's a movie. It's been out for a while, but I finally been having time to watch all the shit I've had on my list that I haven't taken the time to watch. And it's basically about the 2016 election and Facebook. Mm-hmm. Right. And we've talked about it on the show before, but this is like a documentary where they go into detail. You get to meet some of the people behind all this stuff. And there's this company called Cambridge Analytica that did all this analysis on American voters. Now they did this all over the globe, not just us, the UK. Their hand is very responsible for pushing Brexit. In Trinidad and Tobago, they were part of the Do So movement, which is essentially a movement that says don't vote.
Wow.
Right. So you had a lot, right? So you had, and they were for hire. Like, you could hire them. If you're the president and you don't want to, lose, then you hire them, and they start these grassroots quote unquote movements with misinformation and articles and stuff targeted at certain people to be like, let's make sure that this person sees this thing. And one of the things they said they did, because this is exactly what I thought happened, you know, because it was called The Great Hack, and I remember thinking, I'm not going to watch this because I already know what it is. And it's not a hack. It's propaganda targeted to people that are the most prone to be propagandized, right?
Right.
And so I was like, I'm not going to watch it because I already know it. But I was like, let me watch it today. You know, I've been watching a lot of shit like this lately, After Truth and all this stuff. So I'm watching it and I'm like, the things I picked up on the most, what they would do is get your data from Facebook and stuff. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to delete it. They didn't.
Of course not.
Right. They would get your data and they would figure out that they couldn't manipulate everybody. Not everyone is susceptible to this.
No.
But a lot more people are susceptible to this than you think.
Right.
And a lot more, and they weren't just coming at you from one angle. See, what happens is in our circles, and this is one of the reasons that, like I said, I pulled back from a lot of the activists and a lot of the liberal circle people and said, you know what, I gotta just analyze shit for myself, because y'all niggas get caught up in this wave too much and y'all say stupid shit. y'all, you know, but if it's like, if y'all all pat yourselves on the back for saying the same stupid shit, then it's not stupid anymore.
Right.
But it's still stupid to me. So one of the things they figured out was they targeted three types of people. They targeted people that were fearful. They targeted people that were apathetic. And then they targeted people that were angry. Mm-hmm. Right.
Anger is probably the number one thing.
Well, the number one thing is fear.
White people afraid
of losing everything.
Okay, yeah, I just think for me personally is anger, but yeah.
Yeah, the number one thing is fear. You know, not that all three of these things are exclusive. I'm sure you can be fearful and angry, but fear is the number one thing, obviously. And many, many white people that voted for Trump, they did it. They got them brainwashed essentially by targeting them with these ads of like, here's Hillary Clinton coughing, she's gonna die, and she's a terrible person. Mm-hmm. She's a liar. They play like a clip out of context of Michelle Obama talking about something else and then put a Hillary Clinton logo thing like, so she doesn't even like Hillary. You know, that kind of shit. And they're just sending these ads to you through the algorithm all day, every day. And so eventually you click on these things, you start to see these things over and over and over again. Facebook, meanwhile, is not regulating any of it. They're letting you see whatever. Facebook and Twitter and these places that are run by white men essentially feel like freedom of speech means free for all, because they've never felt any true level of oppression.
Right.
And they can essentially pass for straight cishet white men, you know, even though I do know that Mark Zuckerberg is Jewish. He's white. He's a white dude to most people.
Correct.
And so to them, freedom of speech is essentially anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not even what freedom of speech is in the world. Like in America, freedom of speech is not anything goes. You can't threaten somebody. You can't, you know, if you target someone for harassment, that's a legal thing. That's a legal matter now. If you say fire in a crowded theater, that's not freedom of speech anymore, right?
Right.
So freedom of speech isn't really real. And even with them saying freedom of speech is real, post a video with somebody's music, right?
Oh, it's the first thing to get going.
Right. So they have tools that could stop this stuff, but they don't, because they were, one, getting paid for it. Two, they're white dudes who think this is freedom of speech and this is fine. And so these companies took advantage of it. And so you will have people that literally like Trump, his people would be like, reach out to Cambridge Analytica. We need a contract with them to help us in the election. And they will put the propaganda out there on social media to shift those votes.
It was everywhere.
And they had like a certain number of people that they felt were attainably, they with pretty good confidence, they could switch their votes. I forget the exact number of data points they had on each person, but it was like 30 million voters and like 500 and something data points on each or something, some crazy number like that. So they could tell like your personality profile, like, okay, is this person quick to anger? Are they sad? Are they apathetic? How do we motivate them? How do we,
they do the algorithm based on what you post in the past, what you interact with, probably how you repost stuff.
So the things that they really count were people who are going to vote Republican. They want that. And really conservative in general, because this is all over the globe they did this, but conservative. And then the other thing they wanted, people who weren't going to vote. They targeted people with different tactics. Of course, your white conservatives is fear-based. It's white. The people are coming, they're going to take all your guns and your money and blah, blah, blah. Okay. But for your black people, it was very much, we want you to feel apathetic. It doesn't matter. Your vote doesn't count. Don't worry about it. It's all the same. Who gives a fuck anyway? And they really heavily influenced people like that. And then they also influenced the people that were like, I'm so angry and I'm so woke that I'm not gonna vote. Like, fuck all these politicians. This will show them. I'm woker than y'all. Y'all don't understand. And the whole time I kept thinking about, over the years, you know how we've seen some people that really have bought into this as a personality, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, they, because like I said, I can't remember if it was on this show or a different show, if you're not gonna vote, you do realize you could not vote and not tell anybody.
Correct.
So there's something specific about the need to not vote and then voice it to everyone in a declarative fashion that says something different. Like, this is about attention. This is not necessarily about your personal choice. This is an invitation to debate.
Right, because a lot of people don't vote and they don't tell nobody and nobody knows and they're going about their lives.
Right. And so, you know, I went over last week how we watched that documentary about them literally hacking voting machines.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We went over that. But this is about a different kind of quote unquote hacking. It's hacking the human brain, which is already biased and predisposition to certain things. And so they would send black people these like activists, websites and groups to get them joined in and movements and stuff and these articles. And one of the things they did too that I thought was really like, at one point they had like an activist march that Russia literally sponsored, and people, like black people in America, showed up and marched at that thing. They had no idea.
Right. Yeah, how would they know?
Right. And so it's so crazy to think about how people were manipulated. And it's like when I finished watching, it's almost like you have to take your hat off to Cambridge Analytica. And I don't mean that and they did a good thing, but I mean it like it's the ultimate heist. It's the heist where you got somebody to give you their money and their power while making it feel like it was their idea and making them want to defend that idea. You know, like it's honestly, like, to me, I look at it no different than like Fox News brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
like people are comfortable saying Fox News brainwashes people because they're thinking about white people,
right?
You know, people that are around us anyway, but they're not comfortable being like, well, this motherfucker kind of got brainwashed by, you know, these woke movements. They got brainwashed into not doing shit. You know, they gave away their power. It's the only thing that'll make you be like, yeah, I didn't vote and fuck you, bitch, I'm proud of it. You got a problem with it? It ain't my. And it's like that thing where like Bernie Sanders today endorsed Joe Biden.
Mm, okay.
5 days after dropping out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're keeping track, 2016 took 36 days for him to endorse Hillary Clinton. But okay, you know, hey, you learn from your mistakes. Maybe he got better, I don't know. But the point is, I've seen his people, some of them black, some of them white, talking about how they're not gonna vote Biden, they don't care about it, you know, I'd rather have more Trump than this, you can't make me, you gonna have to earn this vote, all that type of shit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Biden's already adopted or pushed left or more left on a couple more policies and from Bernie.
I thought that was the point.
Right. They don't care. They don't care. They want him to be Bernie. Even if he came out and had the same exact platform as Bernie, they'd still say no. And so the point is, though, these people have been heisted. They've opened their bank vault. They've given their money away. And now they have to defend it.
Mm-hmm.
They can't say, oh, shit, I got got. That's the one thing that really... And like I said, Twitter, social media is kind of bizarre world. So who knows? Hopefully this doesn't translate to real life. And it doesn't seem to be, because the numbers show people showing up more to vote for Biden this year than they did even for Hillary or Obama in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that it showed me was like these people are they're incorrigible. It's impossible to reach them. They do this grandstanding for the attention of the grandstanding.
Correct.
They want they are incapable of admitting they were wrong. They're incapable of admitting they could do better. They're incapable of saying, hey, I changed my mind.
That's okay. It's okay to be like, you know what? I got. Like, it is all right. But a lot of times when people don't want to do that, a lot of times that's just pride.
This man was worse than I thought. I would rather vote for Biden than him. That's all it would take for most people to be like, all right, cool. You've been acting like a head ass for 3-4 years now, but if you can let it go, I can let it go.
That's all people saying.
Right, but they can't let it go.
Right.
Because all they have at this point.
And that's why other people on the other end go, okay, then fuck you, and they'll keep it trucking too.
Cambridge Analytica no longer exists. They declared bankruptcy in order to avoid
lawsuit
legal and mm-hmm. you know, find like just culpability in this shit,
right? Because countries is like, hey dog, this is some bullshit, you need to be held accountable and responsible.
But the mentality that has been programmed by people, Cambridge Analytica, that still exists. They don't need, you don't need a Cambridge Analytica to get these people unbrainwashed.
Nope.
They will forever be this way. Like, or they gonna be this way, you know, to prove a point all the way down to the, as the ship burns. Like, it doesn't matter if they have a fire extinguisher in their hands. They would rather the ship burn to think they're proving some philosophical thing. And I'm just saying, sober minded, clear vision, objectively, these motherfuckers are the problem.
Yes, they are.
You know, and like I said, I can't make an exception for black people. Mm-mm. Or anybody. Anybody on this bullshit is the problem. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. They've been trying to do this to us since the fucking day that the word came up, voting. And the way the concept of voting came up in America, they've been trying to figure a way out to keep black people out of it.
Right, because at the end of the day, they don't want us to have any power, any authority. They don't want us to run anything, you know, 3/5 of a person and all that other bullshit. Yeah. Like
they don't even want things to benefit us.
No, why? Because as far as they're concerned, this country has never ever got over slavery and free labor, and it never will. That's why they want to pay you the lowest that they possibly can. It would be free if we didn't have minimum wage. Minimum wage is the only thing that's preventing a lot of jobs from being like, fuck it, you better come here and work for goddamn free.
So that's what I was thinking about when I found that excerpt today, because I was like, look at the games they've played on us. And voter intimidation, right? They used to have guns at the polls. We're gonna kill any nigger we see come up here, but don't matter if they did it or not. And our ancestors were so fucking understanding of the power to vote. Some of these motherfuckers went out and shot the fair one with these white people so they could get the right to vote. Mm-hmm. Like, they would show up at the polls with their guns too, like, well, somebody gonna, because I'm voting. And people died, not just black people, white people got killed and shit too. Like, so this is something we've always fought for, and, you know, I'm so proud of the people that are still dedicated, black people specifically, that are still dedicated to encouraging people to vote, getting out people to vote,
mm-hmm. Measuring people to
making
vote.
Sure you vote, you know, helping with these different organizations that get people to vote. I'm so proud of them, because they carry on the legacy of our ancestors, and that's not a shame, that's a pride. And I feel proud when I vote because of that. I feel proud to get on this show and talk about voting. But there's also this other thing happening of these people that willfully give up their, you know, it's like they lay down their guns essentially in this battle, or they walk to the other side. And yeah, I don't have to be proud of this person. I don't have to applaud them. And the worst part to me is that these motherfuckers want all the credit when Trump wins. They're gonna want all the credit. If you guys would have catered to me, Trump would have lost. If you would have did what I told you to do, Trump would have lost. But then they want no blame. So when I say, well, you still should have voted because, you know, now we have Trump in office and it fucked things up. Well, you can't blame me. It's not enough people that's out there. They want it both ways. And I look back and I read these stories and stuff and I'm like, it's shameful. You know, people, oh, don't use shame. You should feel ashamed.
Come on, you should feel ashamed.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is shameful behavior, man. Like, you know, and you don't have to go this far back. Like I said, go look at the Great Hack. You should feel ashamed that these motherfuckers bamboozled you. That they mind tricked you into being like, I'm staying home, and that's me making a bigger statement to sit this out. You know, I don't want to hear what you have to say about Trump. I don't want to hear it.
I don't either. And I know people hate when you say this, but I'm going to say it and I'm going to continue to say it again. If you did not vote, I don't want to hear your opinion. As far as I'm concerned, your opinion is not valid. Because you had a right you had a chance to vote. And if you voted and your person didn't win, you can complain all motherfucking day long. But if you set the process out, that meant you were fine with whatever happened.
Yeah, I saw somebody linking an old piece to somebody that they wrote a while ago, and talking about how not voting as a black person is a good option, and people that tell you to vote are anti-black. And I'm like, dog, you part of the problem. You know, we need everybody, man. So, you know, if you want to be a contrarian, be contrarian to white supremacy that's trying to make you not vote.
Right.
Contrary that shit. Don't just try to contrary people that got your best interest in mind. There's people out here that want to harm you, that literally would like nothing better than to suppress your vote, and you're sitting here helping them.
Right. And the thing to me that's frustrating is a lot of these people are the motherfucking loudest about how terrible everything is, how the sky is falling. Okay, bitch, what did you do?
Right.
You did nothing. Well, then, you know, why are you so loud for somebody that didn't put in any sweat equity into this?
Right. All right, let's get into it. Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. A reading rainbow. All right. Let's go ahead and get into this show, guys. You think Carol Baskin's husband listened to this podcast right now?
Mm-mm.
No? That's interesting, Karen. Wonder why. Why not? All right, let's see. I guess we can start with the coronavirus stuff. We need the coronavirus song of the day.
And I know she'll be the death of me, at least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me, the worst is yet to come. But at least we'll both be beautiful and stay forever young. This I know, this I know. She told me don't worry about it. She told me don't worry.
All right, let's get into it. All kinds of stuff is happening. So now there's like new information. Like I said, always finding out new shit with this COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Patients are saying they feel a fizzing sensation as a new symptom.
Oh shit, fizzing like fizzy water? The hell?
Yeah, apparently doctors treating the illness tell the Post that this phenomenon may be one of the last sensations patients experience as their bodies battle the disease. One patient who shared her experience on Twitter claims that she felt the sensation since the first day of her symptoms, describing it as an electric feeling on my skin.
Ooh.
Founders of the Me Too movement to work shared that her partner was diagnosed with the illness and also experienced the burning feeling that his skin was so severe. His skin felt like it was burning. Even when he barely had a fever of 99, we literally used aloe gel for sunburns to soothe it. She further explained on Twitter. The NP later told us that she had heard others say it too. Dr. Daniel Griffin, chief of infectious disease at Pro Healthcare Associates, tells the Post, clearly it has been identified, but we're just not sure yet how widespread it is. Griffin, as well as others, feel that there could be actually several reasons for the feeling. It may be the result of a disease fighting antibodies interfering with the way what nerves work, adding that neurologists still aren't sure if it's our body's response to the virus or the virus itself that causes that feeling. Another explanation could for the sensation could be tied to a fever. People aren't used to having fevers. Maybe their skin really does feel like an electric sensation. He explains he advises that an aloe vera gel or mild lotion could help soothe the sensation. Despite this, Shah does not believe people will be quick to get tested based on the sensation alone. It's not a symptom that has been well described yet, so just make sure you're still following isolation procedures. Just gotta get the information out here. There's always something new popping up with this shit, man. Let's see. Oh, here's more new information. The coronavirus, now people are, the CDC is starting to come up with, you know, getting more information, especially out of China.
Right.
So they're thinking the coronavirus can actually travel through the air at least 13 feet.
God damn.
Which is more than twice as far as social distancing guidelines have said before. This is according to a report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Research published in the federal agency's Emerging Infectious Diseases Journal showed the contagion spreading far further than previously official suggestions, and also getting spread on people's shoes. The aerosol distribution characteristics indicate that the transmission distance of COVID-19 might be 4 meters, the report says. Furthermore, half of the samples from the soles of the ICU medical staff shoes tested positive. Now, of course, ICU medical staff are people that are around this more than the average person.
Correct.
So maybe, you know, this is all information that has been tested from, you know, the hospital rooms and stuff like that of where the disease hit the hardest. But yeah, they're saying,
yeah,
you know,
they constantly walking in it.
Yeah, they said therefore the soles of medical staff shoes might function as carriers. Like I said, this might not be everybody's shoes, but medical staff shoes, you know. The report, based on research by a team at the Academy of Military Medical Sciences in Beijing, appears to reaffirm fears that the current social distancing guidelines of 6 feet may not be enough. It also suggests people, especially medical staff on the front lines, could inadvertently be spreading the bug away from its source, recommending the stringent disinfecting measures.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of their culture, and even, you know, some over here, and, you know, some older black people, they like, you hit that, they like, take your motherfucking shoes off. I don't know where your shoes has been and what the hell you done stepped in. Don't spread that shit in my house.
High levels were also found on frequently touched surfaces like computer, mice, trash cans, and bed rails. The CDC recommends 6 feet for social distancing, while the World Health Organization claims just 3 feet should be enough, less than a quarter of the distance the current study suggested spread. So, like I said, this is, keep in mind, don't panic, this is also in a highly contaminated zone that they're doing this. So they're not, you know, I don't know if this applies to, if you go to the grocery store, if it's the same as, you know, these hospital areas and stuff, but just want to always keep people aware of the latest findings, because they're always finding out more. A Virginia pastor has died from coronavirus after refusing to close church doors amid social distancing orders.
What did we say?
It don't care if you go to church.
It don't care nothing about the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, none of that. It will touch all of y'all and go ahead and take you on to glory.
The coronavirus outbreak, which has infected over 576,000 people in the United States, has now claimed the life of a beloved pastor just weeks after hosting a packed service at Richmond's New Deliverance Evangelistic Church. Bishop Gerald O. Glenn passed away from the deadly virus. According to New York Post, Glenn's last known service took place March 22nd, where he vowed to keep his church doors open unless I'm in jail or in the hospital. I firmly believe that God is larger than this dreaded virus, he said at a time amid the state social distancing orders, adding that people are healed in this church. I am essential. I'm a preacher. I talk to God. But on Sunday, the church announced the news of Glenn's passing, revealing that he died a week after being diagnosed with the disease. It becomes very real to you, his daughter Marjorie Crawley told the local news, adding that her mother is also sick with the virus. I just beg people to understand the severity and seriousness of this, because people are saying it's not just about us, it's about everyone around us.
Right, that's what people are saying. Like, you act like people are telling you this just because. It's like, it's amazing how people use religious freedom to do the dumbest shit.
Yeah, and you know, that's kind of the problem with this shit, you know, this idea of I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I feel like doing, You know, there's like, it's that causes a lot of issues.
Yeah, because so. Don't nobody care enough about your religion. Your religion is not the problem. They're going, this thing right here don't care nothing about your religion. The problem is you're packed. You're in proximity of each other. You're breathing on each other. You're hugging each other. People are asymptomatic. Nobody knows who has it. And then you have an outbreak. And this Easter service was yesterday. Guarantee you in some parts of the country, there's going to be an uptick within the next 14 to 21 days, a massive uptick because people were just determined they had to go to church.
Yeah, they just feel like I can do whatever the fuck I want to do. And, you know, that is, you know, that's scary, man. Like, you know, I, like, a lot of people like joke and applaud this shit. And I'm like, I don't find any of this stuff funny when it's, especially black older people talking about, I'm gonna do what the fuck I want to do. Like, that's not cute. You know, because, you know, him saying this a week ago of people in church clapping for it and shit, and now he's dead. Do y'all not look back on that and be like, damn, we really shouldn't have been in there?
Right. And how do I know I don't have it?
Yeah, like, you know, and like I said, I spotted this on Trump because I feel like his lack of seriousness and messaging is, whether you respect him as a president or not, that office, that lack of direction, it does trickle down to everybody. And yes, so you have people that don't treat you seriously because they think, well, he ain't got to treat it seriously, I'm not going to treat it seriously. But it does, man. Like, it just, I don't know. It makes me so fucking mad. Like, and not mad, I don't even know what to say. It's not necessarily mad at them because I know something, like, I'm not like, yeah, he dead, I'm happy. I'm like, I'm just mad because it's like, it was a waste. It's a waste.
Right.
Y'all could have, you could have waited 3-4 Sundays or whatever the fuck the it's gonna 3-4 months of Sundays. It just don't matter
it
compared to the lives of your parishioners. If you care about them,
then you
close your doors. That's, this is a weird fucking time and a weird fucking disease because it's, the way to fight this is to not come together.
Right.
And so it's fucking with people. But you just have to trust the people that know the science and the research and work in the field. They're not all, they're telling us this shit for a reason.
Right.
You know, and I had a friend, well, I would loosely use the word friend, that, she used to be cool, but I guess over the years she just went crazy and started, you know, like I saw something on her page where she shared this guy in some scrubs, you know, medical person of some type. I don't know if he's a janitor, if he, the doctor or what, but he sat down, did a like 20 minute live video on how, you know, coronavirus ain't nothing but the flu and you shouldn't be scared of it, and it don't matter, like we don't need to change anything, blah blah blah, open up the country. And she shared it and then said, yeah, I'm a Trump supporter, if you don't fuck with me then unfriend me. So of course I did. But it's like, also I was just thinking, like, you don't look around you and see the YMCA is closed, you can't go lift weights.
Right.
You don't see that your job is telling you don't come in.
The schools are saying keep your kids at home.
You don't see all the death happening.
Right.
Like, how is this, like, how are you not understanding this? Even when people say that stupid ass stat, like, yeah, you know, flu kills 40,000 people a year or something. It's like, yeah, over the course of 365 days. You know, like, you're talking about this shit doing that in a month. You know, you're talking like you don't know if one in every 100 people dies, you're talking like you don't know 100 people. Like, you won't be touched by this. So, researchers in Brazil in chloroquine study after participants' hearts experienced life-threatening side effects. Yeah, it's the drug that, I don't know if he's still promoting it, but Donald Trump was promoting this, you know, it was, suppose you know, people were watching, that were watching the money was saying, like, his family and stuff was investing in these holdings in the companies that sell this drug.
Everything is about money.
But yeah, after volunteers in the study started having heart complications that could possibly lead to death, 81 hospitalized patients were involved in the Amazonian funded case study and were used to test how effective the drug would be on the attacking coronavirus, and so they had to end the study. Researchers ceased the study early after potential safety hazards appeared as a result of the patients taking the drug. Each patient took a 50 milligram dose of chloroquine twice a day for 5 days, according to the report. Other volunteers were given one 600 milligram dose every day for 10 days. Ooh. Preliminary findings suggested the higher chloroquine dosage 10-day regimen should not be recommended for COVID-19 treatment because of its potential safety hazards. Such results forced us to prematurely halt patient recruitment to this arm. Patients who were taking higher doses started experiencing arrhythmia or irregular heartbeats within 3 days of taking the drug. 11 patients died after 6 days.
Wow.
But no reports show whether it was due to the drug or the virus itself. The New York Post reports that the scientists said the trend towards higher fatality associated with the higher dose by day six or of follow-up resulted in premature halting or of giving higher doses to patients. Researchers say that they concluded the higher dosage is where they saw abnormal effects. To me, the study conveys one useful piece of information, which is that chloroquine causes a dose-dependent increase in abnormality in the ECG, the electrocardiography, that could predispose people to sudden cardiac death, said Dr. Gerlink, the head of the Division of Clinical Pharmacology at the University of Toronto, Canada. So it made the miracle drug solution that Donald Trump was telling y'all it is.
Well, they had to test it on real live human beings.
Yeah, Dr. Fauci tried to tell people chill out, you know. He's like, hey man, you can't do, like, this shit is not what y'all say it is, dog. Meat plant had to close after 293 workers tested positive for coronavirus.
Goddamn.
And the nation's meat supply could take a hit. Virginia-based Smithfield Foods announced Sunday that it is closing its pork processing plant in Sioux Falls until further notice after hundreds of employees tested positive for the coronavirus, a step the head of the company warned could hurt the nation's meat supply.
Yeah, probably because they're in close proximity walking around. I mean, you're in the meat plant.
Yep, it employs about 3,700 people in the state's largest city. It's become a hot spot for infections. The health officials say Sunday that 293 of the 730 who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 in South Dakota work at the plant. As a critical infrastructure employer for the nation's food supply chain and a major employer in Falls, it is crucial that Smithfield have a healthy workforce to ensure the continuity of operations to feed the nation. At the same time, employees need a healthy work environment, said Noam and Tin Hocken, who wrote to the plant's operators. Smithfield announced a 3-day closure last week so it could sanitize the plant and install physical barriers to enhance social distancing, but on Sunday it announced the plant's indefinite closure. The closure of this facility, combined with the growing list of other protein plants that have shuttered across our industry, is pushing our country perilously close to the edge in terms of our meat supply, Smithfield President and CEO Kenneth Sullivan said in a statement. It is impossible to keep our grocery stores stocked if plants are not running. These facility closures will also have severe, perhaps disastrous repercussions for many in the supply chain, first and foremost, our nation's livestock farmers. The Sioux Falls facility is one of the largest pork processing plants in the U.S. Smithfield said it supplies nearly 130 million servings of food per week, or about 18 million servings per day. There's no evidence that the coronavirus is being transmitted through food or its packaging, according to the Department of Agriculture. Other meat processing plants have also closed temporarily because of outbreaks of the coronavirus, including the Tyson Food facility in Columbus Junction, Iowa, where more than 24 employees tested positive. Yeah, and so that's the other thing too. When they keep talking about open up the economy, reopen the economy, reopen the economy.
Yeah,
I'm like, it doesn't matter,
right?
If you want to reopen the economy, the virus is going to shut it down.
Right. The virus don't give a fuck about the economy. People don't understand that. What's going to happen until there is a vaccine, and a vaccine that works, and a vaccine that you can pump out en masse, and testing that can be done massively to see how many people have it, how many people, until you get to that point, it's going to be a back and forth. Because the thing is, you need workers. What's the point in sending people to work just for them to get reinfected if they already have it? Because we know now people can get infected again, you know, more than once. People who don't have it, forcing them to come to work and they catch it, bring it back home to their family. It's like, it doesn't make sense to reopen the economy. And I do understand that people want things to get back to normal, but there is no new normal. There is pre-coronavirus and post-coronavirus. This literally has changed the way the world will function moving forward. And so we will still function. It's just going to be a different way of functioning. And the thing is, the coronavirus is going to do what it's going to do, and we just have to wait. And people don't want to hear that. People hear that it has to take its course. They're going to be, numbers are going to fall in some places of the country, and guess what? Numbers are going to go up in some places of the country because people are determined to keep gathering. And the thing is, if you don't have the same blanketed rule across all 50 of the states, it's not going to matter because people travel too. So, okay, let's say one state shut it down, their numbers is good, then you got another state and they breaking out. A lot of those people leave and start going to these other places to reinfect. So it's like opening up the economy makes no sense.
Yeah, and you know, the economy is going to suffer from stuff like this,
right?
So let you know, these places that were deemed essential and didn't shut down, these are the canary in the coal mine for the rest of the economy. You know, even when you see numbers start to come down somewhat, it's not necessarily it doesn't really mean the fight is over.
Mm-mm.
But I'm afraid that people will start to think that way, but it's not saying the fight is over. So you have, you know, people like in New York, where they're like, hey, we're having less deaths every day. Yeah, but it's still 700 deaths a day. And literally, if we said, okay, well, everyone come back out, it would just hop right back up.
Right.
And the thing is, with the gestation period of this disease, of this virus, you're not talking about the next day. So the decisions that you make, you don't really see the harm for maybe a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, these motherfuckers are about to die. Uh-oh, here we go. And here everyone's in the hospital.
Right. Oh, Lord, now we got to shut down again, which makes no fucking sense. Like, you reopen it up just to turn around and go back home.
Well, we may be doing that anyway. Even if people do what the government says, the solution may end up being some level of, we open it up a little bit, close it back down. Open it up a little bit, close it back down. And they may be managing, this may be like the kind of the new thing until there's a vaccine, is that you manage this stuff. There's no football games, there's no stuff, but there will be like, okay, you can travel today. You know, but at the end of the week, we're going back into quarantine, you know, so. Nearly a third of Americans believe a conspiracy theory about the origins of the coronavirus.
What do you mean?
A third of Americans.
I mean, I heard what you said, but what is it?
What is the what? What is the conspiracy?
Yes.
Well, there's different conspiracy theories.
Okay.
Many that contradict each other. We've talked about them on the show, you know.
Okay, right.
Some people believe it was developed in a lab intentionally or accidentally. Or that it doesn't exist. It's completely made up. People just die for no reason. Let's see. Yeah. There's also people, you know, obviously the 5G thing. It's, you know, a third of people just are like, fuck what these scientists say. It's a trick. These sentiments emerged despite a majority of those surveyed, 70% saying that the news media had been covering coronavirus very well or somewhat well. But, you know, fake news, guys. The belief that COVID-19 was created by humans stems from speculation by some scientists during the early days of the outbreak that the virus came from a laboratory. These scientists formed this hypothesis because while most of the early COVID-19 patients frequented the same animal markets in Wuhan, China, not all of them had. So some scientists proposed the origin point could have been a Chinese laboratory where humans were working with bats. Yeah, this is another hazard of social media. I remember seeing some of these people floating these ideas on the timeline, being like, oh, it could be this, and it's like, I don't, and people were retweeting this shit. People, like, you don't have to be a scientist, you got 6 followers. People just wanted an explanation,
right?
And so they were just like, this is this person, they know, you know. And people were estimating shit like 4 million people are gonna die, shit like that. And people was like, oh my god, 4 million people gonna die, over 100 million people will get sick, you know, stuff like that. And you know, hopefully that doesn't come to pass, but it's like everything was being shared. So yeah, some of the people was the 5G conspiracy theorists,
right?
Some of them was the government, it's a Chinese disease created to destroy the world or whatever. Like,
yeah, there's different versions of this one. Like, y'all act like scientists hadn't been monitoring and studying this shit for years.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you had different people with different microbiologist Michael Ebright speculated to the Washington Post the virus could have passed to humans in a lab accident with an accidental infection of a laboratory worker.
What's this, Spider-Man? The hell is this?
That hypothesis was picked up and published in a number of media outlets and quickly echoed by some government officials, including Boris Johnson. There was little scientific evidence to support this belief, which seems to have been bolstered by the proximity of a branch of China's Center for Disease Control and Prevention to the Wuhan animal market and not much else. The scientific consensus was that the virus came to humans by way of natural contact with animal hosts, but the idea spread anyway. As it spread, it formed a variant strand, a conspiracy that the virus not only came from a lab, but was created there. Yes, this is crazy, man. So, yep. The people most likely to believe in COVID conspiracy theories are the people most likely to die from the virus. Mm. Polling suggests people most likely to believe the theory also most likely to be in danger from the virus, according to Pew respondents.
Because they're not going to follow nobody's rules.
Respondents with a high school diploma or less education, as well as respondents identifying as Black and Latino, were more likely to believe humans made COVID-19. Given the systemically unequal and sometimes horrifically racist history of healthcare in the U.S., it's little wonder minorities might distrust things scientists and health officials tell them about the virus. But this systemic inequality, combined with the inadequate government preparation and protection, means that there are the populations most likely to die from exposure to the virus. For example, as April 11th, 41% of Michigan's COVID-19 related deaths were of Black people, despite Black people being 14% of the state's population.
Goddamn.
Yep, low income, working class, minority individuals are all more likely to have unequal and intermittent access to health care and health insurance, to have underlying health conditions, to be located in danger zones where worse air pollution means more susceptibility to the virus, and to work at jobs that put them at increased risk of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and that's the people, part of the people that believe conspiracies and shit about it. Gotta be careful. We was talking about it with Janelle yesterday.
All right,
let's see, do a couple more. Striking McDonald's workers say their lives are more essential than food.
I agree.
Yeah. They went on strike and they demand masks and gloves and
mm-hmm.
all of that stuff. Yes. And they want hazard pay.
Correct. Because that's the thing. Everybody going, y'all essential workers, but you don't want to up their pay. Mm-hmm. The fuck is this? People going at their house risking their lives every day just so you have the ability to go to the grocery store, to drive up to McDonald's and stay your ass at home. Pay these people.
Yeah, and the thing is, even if they had masks, they weren't granted permission to wear the mask until a couple of days ago.
Right, maybe I've been hearing that a lot of times they weren't allowed to win because they would say, you don't want to scare customers. Fuck mm-hmm. the customers. Fuck them. They might have to give it to me.
Right. And you got all these people sitting in there that in the lobby and stuff.
Hey.
They may not have a mask. They may be sick. They may be asymptomatic.
You're scaring them. Get out of here.
Scaring who?
The customers.
No, I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, my bad. but not yeah, that, no. I missed your train of thought for a second, but I see what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a stupid ass reason.
Right.
Like I'm the one behind the register with the money. I'm gonna rob you. But yeah, and these are people that need to work to pay their bills. You know, but you know, and that, like, I saw a story about a girl who died who has I think cerebral palsy or something, but mm-hmm. she wanted to work as the cashier because she wanted to help the community, but mm-hmm. at that place they didn't provide her with like a mask or gloves or anything, and so she ended up passing. And then in the story they kind of highlighted like her last check was $21.67 or something like that. And, you know, first of all, it could have been $1 billion. I mean, losing your life is terrible either way.
Right.
But the point was, like, you know, these are people that you, it's hard to write a story and make this girl a hero and then say, but yeah, we were, I mean, treat her like shit. You pay her like shit. She shouldn't, you know, like that's not a story that is, to me, a happy story.
No, it's not. And that's why when the federal government is functioning properly, it is their jobs to regulate companies and force companies to do the moral things, because the more companies have no morals. Companies don't give a fuck. They're about trying to make the most money possible with the least amount of money going out.
Yeah. Spain is beginning to ease their lockdown to revive their economy. We'll see how that goes.
Come on, another month they'll be like, they spike back up again.
Yeah, I know they had a lot of deaths too. It's one of the countries worst hit by the coronavirus. It's beginning to ease strict lockdown measures that have brought its economy to a standstill. People in the manufacturing, construction, and some services are being allowed to return to work, but must stick to strict safety guidelines. The rest of the population must still remain at home. Right. This is what I think is going to happen with us.
Okay.
People are going to, because we already do this somewhat. So we're going to see this happen more than, this idea of just open the economy back up, everything's normal, that's not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
But I think we are going to see stuff like this where, and we'll see how it affects, like watch Spain to see our future, you know. And I don't even know if Trump and them have the discipline to wait that long.
Mm-mm. When they say open back up, they literally mean go and do the same normal shit you were doing before. That's what the fuck people gonna do, and then it's gonna be a breakout all across the country again.
Yeah, and some of these governors have had to link up and be like, hey, we will decide as a unit when we're opening up our states.
Right. Fuck what that nigga's saying.
Yeah.
Because we care about our people.
And Donald Trump came out and insisted Monday that he alone could declare the United States reopened for business. Mm-hmm. Continuing the contradictory line of messaging towards the nation's governor. Because keep in mind, he was the one that said it's a state responsibility. They need to get their own mask.
Right.
They need to figure out what they're going to do for their states. This is the federal. Jared Kushner said the federal stockpile of masks and shit is for federal purposes, not states, which I don't, what does that even fucking mean?
Right.
And then now Trump turns it into, well, hold up. No, I decide when your states do. Well, I don't want any responsibility. I don't want to provide anything for your states, but I decide when your states are open for business and not.
And voting matters. Voting, it's sad, but voting motherfucking matters. Cause most of these people that are like, no, we are not doing that bullshit. Because I am accountable for the people's lives in this day. I understand people are upset because they're stupid and they're dumb and they don't understand that more people will die if I don't put these things in place. Yes, we all feel the frustration. We're all anxious. We're all angry. Yes, we want to get things functioning again, but it having you stay at home to open right back up again is counterproductive to trying to prevent the disease from spreading. So no. You know, and some of these states, that's talking about reopening again was some of the fucking last states to close. You closed yesterday. I don't understand.
Yep. So yeah, the president's social media got contrasted markedly with a directive he issued to governors Sunday via Twitter, ordering them to get your state's testing programs and apparatuses perfected. Be ready for big things are happening. No excuses. The federal government is there to help. We are testing more than any country in the world. Also gear up with face masks. So that was him being like, hey governors, take care of this shit on your own. We told you what to do. And then at the same time, now that they're like, well, we can't trust you.
Right, we can't trust you.
We got to figure out something on our own. Hey, Governor Newsom, what's your plan? Because we about to do something similar in our state.
Right, and this nigga out here doing fuck shit. They said that several governors across the country have came out and said they've been ordering shit, and they get to the airport, and they'll turn around and be like, nah, or they'll take it for themselves, and all this other bullshit. And they like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, so what you're saying, several states have had to pay for supplies on their own, bargaining phase to pay for supplies on their own. And the federal government was coming in and confiscating the stuff, not paying for anything, not even letting people know that we're doing this. They just like, oh, y'all got masks, we taking them. And that was a big thing. And then of course states were bidding against each other, and a lot of the federal help was going to whoever Trump was cool with.
Mm-hmm. And so he basically saying that other states, fuck y'all, die.
Yeah. All right, I'll speed through a little bit. Delivery apps apparently are taking advantage of local restaurants, so you got that. Shout out to capitalism. Mm-hmm. And it's even these Grubhub and DoorDash ads that make it look like you're helping a local restaurant stay in business,
right,
by using their products, using their services. Apparently that's not what's happening. That's a lie. They're actually charging the restaurants a fee for that. And you know, in this time when their business is actually booming, like, I forget the amount of percent, yeah, but it's like up like a whole lot of, like, their business is up
because ain't nobody going nowhere,
right? And yet, and of course, you know, DoorDash makes money just off the fees, and the fee they charge you and the fee apparently they charge the restaurant, and they won't waive those fees. So they're basically, you know, charging the restaurant and charging the customers for the same at the same time. Right,
and the restaurants are like, how are we supposed to make money off of this?
Right, so they're keeping their the commissions up, and then going out and declaring, we're helping the local restaurants, guys, use Grubhub, use the DoorDash, we were helping. It's like, not really.
So you would literally be better off just calling them directly.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, they're also saying we're waiving delivery fees and stuff like that for customers. And you know, they promote these businesses, like, they're promoting it like free delivery, you know. It's like,
right,
that's money that's not going to the, like, I think the company has to instead pay the delivery fee instead of the customer.
Oh wow.
Right. Grubhub forced the restaurants to pay on the promotion for their free delivery for customers, offering $10 off any $30 order placed between 5 and 9 p.m. And if that wasn't enough, Grubhub also took its commission based on the total cost of the order before the discount.
Wow.
Yep. And of course, they don't pay their delivery drivers much. I mean, I try to give big ass tips when we order something,
it, right,
but that only takes care of the driver. I didn't think about, like, right, that doesn't take care of the restaurant. I mean, I don't know, it's just kind of all bad news, because I don't know what I'm supposed to tell you. I mean, you're not supposed to be leaving your house to go get food and shit. You can't go to sit down in the restaurant. Some people say you could buy like gift cards and then don't go to the restaurant or something, but I don't know, man. And like, how much is that being offered online, you know?
Right,
like, this is crazy. All right, and the last, well, this is another quick one. Every state is under a state of emergency in America right now. Like, it's all, every state has now declared a major disaster declaration.
Mm-hmm. So, which means the federal government should have already have done it if Ireland was going to close anyway, even though someone went kicking and screaming.
Diamond and Silk got their Twitter account locked for lying about the coronavirus.
You mean, did they lock it or they?
No, Twitter locked it.
Oh, Twitter locked it. Okay.
Yeah. I guess they finally said something to account. Been lying about everything else for years, but I guess that was black shit.
Right.
They got too comfortable. The president can do it, don't mean you can.
No, it don't.
You're still a Negro. Sweden's death rate shows danger of herd immunity. This is something I think people need to understand, because he keep throwing out the term herd immunity.
Right.
Herd immunity is not, one, herd immunity typically when you have a vaccine to something.
Mm-hmm.
And then because so many people have been vaccinated against it, they can't, the disease basically is wiped out fundamentally.
Right.
So that's one thing. People don't understand what herd immunity is. Another thing, it takes time for that to happen. That's not something, mm-hmm, that happens overnight.
Mm-mm.
Two, they don't even know that you can't catch coronavirus twice. There are studies coming out now showing that like 95 patients in Korea have basically had their coronavirus come back or flare up again. So there's not even proof that, you know, this shit is a one-time deal. So you can't have herd immunity to something you can catch twice.
Right.
Anyway, so only a month has passed since the idea of herd immunity first entered the discussion around the UK's coronavirus response on March 11th. The term was reportedly used by Dominic Cummings, chief advisor to Boris Johnson, in a meeting with industry leaders, and then repeated by Sir Patrick Vallance, the government's chief scientific advisor, 2 days later. But a lot has changed since then. The UK government has denied that herd immunity was ever part of the official strategy, and the country has now been in lockdown for over 2 weeks to help prevent the spread of infection. But while the UK's policy is now firmly in line with that of the vast majority of the world, Sweden remains an outlier. The Scandinavian country says it is relying on citizens to take responsibility and have given guidelines rather than any strict restrictions. Schools, shops, and bars remain open with gatherings of up to 50 people still permitted.
Woo!
Here's what's interesting about Sweden. Sweden has, essentially they have nationalized healthcare. They have, it might not be single payer specifically, but the government pays for most of their health care. It's like, you have, now there's still private health care in Sweden too, mm-hmm. that you can pay for, right. But you have, this is the socialist utopia that we've been told, you know, this is what we need in America, and it would fix how coronavirus spreads, and that will fix everything. But you're only as strong as the leadership at the top.
Correct.
So even if no one had a medical bill, death is death.
Come on.
You know, like, then you don't die in medical debt, you still die though. So you need somebody up top being like, yo, don't fucking go out. Like, we need to get the rates down. Much of their response is based on the advice of Anders Tegnell, Sweden's chief epidemiologist, who has advocated the policy. He has previously told Swedish TV that coronavirus could be stopped by herd immunity or a combination of immunity and vaccination. While the Swedish government continues to tell Tegnell, to back Tegnell and pursue the more laissez-faire approach, recent figures suggest a worrying rise in fatalities in the country. As of Thursday, the nationwide death count was 782, with the underlying statistics showing that Sweden has become more susceptible to the virus than neighboring countries. The death rate of coronavirus infected patients in Norway is less than 2%, while the figure in Denmark is around 4%, and in Sweden, nearly 8% of people who have contracted the coronavirus have died.
Yeah, and they like, we don't want y'all people trying to flee and crossing the border and shit.
Concerns are also growing about the spread of the virus in nursing homes, with one-third of Stockholm's nursing homes reporting cases. Academics call on the Swedish government to bring in tougher measures. The end of March 2nd, 300 Swedish academics signed an open letter urging the government to introduce tougher measures to help combat the virus spread. Denmark, who began enforcing restrictions even before they had suffered their first death, have begun tentatively lifting restrictions after seeing no mass outbreak. Denmark's preemptive decision appears to have put them ahead of the curve in the fight against coronavirus, with the UK still some way off lifting the lockdown restriction. So Denmark was actually like, nah, fuck that. We don't even need a case. Sit your ass at home. We need to be ahead of this.
It's affecting the world, Craig. The whole goddamn world. What make you think the bitch ain't already here?
Like, let's not wait till we got hundreds of people dying to be like, I think we need to stay home. One of the government's senior pandemic advisors, Professor Neil Ferguson, revealed on the BBC Radio 4's Today program that it was still too soon to consider removing any of the measures currently in place. So, yeah, man, this is crazy because if Sweden has an 8% death, which is higher than anybody else right now, you know, like I said, for somebody that got that government subsidized healthcare, that really shouldn't be happening, you would think. But that's only if you don't look at this as a crisis. You know, I think that's what that debate between Biden and Bernie was about, and people got too caught up in, I just want free healthcare. It's like, that's not that that's a bad thing. Everybody should want free healthcare. Right. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-mm.
But that's not necessarily the issue with this pandemic. It's a pandemic. It doesn't matter how the fuck the healthcare is paid for. It's going to overwhelm any healthcare system if you let it run amok. And, you know, it's like Sweden just chose to be like, fuck it. That's crazy. All right.
Okay. Oh, before we move on, I remember yesterday when we was talking to Janelle and she was talking about how sometimes you have good days and sometimes you have bad days. Mm-hmm. Remember earlier today you asked me, was I okay? And I thought I was okay, but apparently I wasn't okay.
Okay.
I come to the realization, because I had wanted to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I had walked up to the balcony and I looked at the balcony and I was like, ooh, I want to go outside. But then I thought, A, the coronavirus is out there. B, I don't want to take the time to clean up shit and wipe shit down and spray shit off. Right. Then I was like, well, if I go out there, then I'm beating my head the whole time. I can't touch my face. I was like, it is too much fucking work. So then I got sad and went on in there and played video games. My black ass is staying inside. I don't know when I'm gonna ever go outside again. I'm scared to go more than 3 feet from the fucking building. And motherfuckers is out here like it is all goddamn good.
Yeah, I think so too. I know, I've mostly been good, but sometimes I'll read a story, you know, cause we gotta do stuff for the show. And, you know, you read about people dying and shit, and you see it's so many obituaries on Twitter and Facebook, and not just celebrities and shit, but just people. Like, you know, this person meant the world to me, you know, and this person is no longer here. And, yeah, it definitely gets to me, you know, like, even if it's just to be out of the house, for a little bit, to like, go out to eat or something like that, or run some errands, you know, stuff I used to just kind of take for granted, you know, I can't for anymore, you know, like now I'm only leaving the house if I got to, you know, like every time, you know, I take it very seriously, you know, cause a mask, different clothes for the house, different clothes for outside, you know, washing my hands, wiping everything down, like it's a lot more stress to just normal shit, you know. And of course, anytime you get like any level of cough, sniffle or some shit, it's like, oh, is this it, you know? So it's definitely a stressful situation, and you're not alone in that. And I think it's an unprecedented situation in our lifetime.
Right. And for me is one of the things in which this is one of the reasons why I get so upset and so frustrated and want to cuss motherfuckers out. When I look at the news, these niggas is at the fucking park, and I'm like, God damn it, stay the fuck inside. I can't go outside, and y'all are out there like it's motherfucking all good with the coronavirus, rubbing his dick all in your face, up your nose and your nostrils and down your throat, and you like, oh, it's all good. And I'm like trying to stay away from that nigga because I don't want what he got. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I think a lot of this frustration is happening also because it's not just you, but people are looking at these people that are violating the rules and taking the anger they have at being stuck inside on them. And like, it essentially, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and they're not. And if they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, it would help everybody.
Right.
But people are going to do what they do, you know. Like seeing the people at the park, seeing the people, you know, violating social distancing at different events. There was a party for Easter at someone's house or some apartment complex that police had to break up. You know, seeing these things is sad to me. And like I said, because of probably how much I've read about it, this shit isn't going to hit some of these people for a week or two.
Right.
So, you know, you can be out here, you know, thinking it's all good and I had a good time and they ain't gonna tell me what to do, and think feeling like you're invincible, and then it's 2 weeks later that you're dead, you know.
Right.
Some of these people that are going to church and all this stuff, you know. So it's just, you know, I get that it's very frustrating to see it, you know.
Yeah, because the thing for me is that I actually care and I'm concerned, because I don't want people to die. That's not what I want. That's why I'm staying in.
Right.
And I'm like, if you actually was concerned and cared about your fellow man, your children, your family members, you would actually do the same thing too. But because Americans going to American, you know, this is
it's not just America.
But yeah, it's literally,
people ain't shit. Italy, people out here fucking like raging against the storm in their minds. Like, I'm gonna go out partying. I'm just reading about secret underground clubs in Japan, and they found one in the U.S. yesterday through surveillance video. People still holding underground parties and stuff. Like, you know, the and in Japan, a couple of those places became hot spots for the disease. So, you know, people out here just wilding, man. They just do, like, this is the thing, you know. This is the reason that I don't necessarily get so excited about the pie in the sky ideas of, like, we're gonna get this free healthcare, we're gonna get free college, we're gonna get loans. Because I'm like, people don't really seem to give a fuck whether they broke, whether they rich. Everybody seems to do whatever the fuck they feel like doing and then be damn with the consequences, right? So, you know, when you see that people don't have an empathy towards each other to just stay their ass home, you know, while you talking about, you know, I got empathy for this healthcare shit. Okay, you do, for real, you believe in that, then why you ain't staying home?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why you on a train ever? Why are you on the bus ever? Why are you in the streets when you don't need to be? You know, shit like that.
Right. And then you have people like me looking at the window, getting anxiety, because you asked me. I was like, no, I'm not going outside, and I went on about my business, because I really was like, God, I would like to go out there and at least get some sun, feel the wind on my face. But then I thought about it, it's not worth the risk, because the Rona touches you, you do not know how you're going to respond to it. You don't know that you're asymptomatic until you got it. You don't know you're going to die until you got it.
Well, I don't think sitting out on your balcony or something is dangerous. I don't think you're being like, that's fine. It's more contact with people is the issue, and the way our balcony is situated, I definitely don't think, like, we don't have to worry about that back there.
That's true.
But yeah, it's contact with people that's the issue, you know.
Yeah, and I guess I'm in my own mind so much, and you're reading stuff, so I'm like, you know what,
what helps me is reading about the actual what we're learning about it, you know. Like, when I learned about the, you can't catch it through eating food, you know. Like, I was listening to Three Guys On, and Andy kept talking about, well, you can microwave the food. You can't catch it through the food anyway. So, like, if you eat the food, it's going to your stomach pipe. It's not going to your respiratory system. So, you're fine with eating food. The deal is gonna be the plates, the cups, the stuff that comes with the boxes, yeah, that come with it and stuff like that. And then you touch your face or something, you're gonna want to clean that stuff, you want to take it out of that, put it in packaging. That's why I read that long ass article on our show that day. It's because peace of mind is knowing you need information to fight this shit.
Right.
You can't fight this shit with a bunch of wives tales and the blood of Jesus, or, you know, I heard it's gonna do this. So, you know, it's about not trying to be in public as little as possible and respecting people's distance, you know. Hopefully that's 6 feet or more. It's gonna be that kind of stuff, wearing a mask, you know. It's gonna be that kind of stuff, and hopefully we'll get through it, you know.
Yeah, and I do believe what you said is true. I get angry and it infuriates me, because I'm like, bitch, I'm trying to follow the goddamn rules. I wish you would too. Stay your ass in the house. It just infuriates me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll try not to find too many of those stories for the show because of that. Because there's no point in being mad about these people. They're gonna do stupid shit anyway, you know. And hopefully, you know, they don't become a hotbed for infections and shit. But some of these places are gonna be there. I try to cover the ones where it's like, these people did this and then these people died because of this. I'm like, okay, that's kind of newsworthy. But the shit where it's like people was, you know, people went bowling or whatever, it's like, well, if nothing happened, there's not much I can say. It's a bad idea. Correct. But I don't want to spend the whole show bringing up every bad idea people have had in the Z-Pac.
Yeah, people have a lot of bad ideas.
So,
but shout out to The Walking Dead for being one of the most realistic shows, telling y'all how stupid people actually are. And people argue, that wouldn't nobody ever do that? Word, do y'all believe it now? You believe it now? I know I do.
Right. All right. So, man, where should we go next? I guess I had some regular ass news, but I don't remember what.
You gonna do the regular ass news?
Yeah, I'm kind of lighting the load here. It's been a long one. Yeah, Bernie endorsed Joe Biden, and they did like a live internet telecast thing together. So that was cool, you know. I appreciate Bernie coming around earlier than later, telling his people to vote for him. Now many of his people are not going to vote for Joe Biden no matter what happens.
Right.
They would rather get more Trump. But you know what? Fuck those people. I don't think they have the numbers. I don't really see them being worth engaging.
Mm-mm.
The only thing I found interesting was, one of the people that worked on his campaign as an aide that Bree Bree Joy chick or whatever, she was talking about how she ain't gonna vote for Biden and all this stuff. And I said, you know what this highlights? That Bernie Sanders' campaign was terrible.
Right.
And it's been terrible for 5 years. It doesn't matter if y'all have spread the word on Twitter. You spread it at Pitchfork Point and may not be able to build coalitions, but it shows that the hierarchy of his campaign, he never, and I always had this sneaking suspicion, but today I feel like it was proven, he's never had control over his people in his campaign.
Mm-mm.
And that's the problem when you're the protest candidate. You get a bunch of people that, you know, it's like that skit on Astronomy Club where the person's at the Black Power meeting and it keeps fucking interrupting until he gets the podium, and then you realize that the movement's always been about them getting all the attention.
Correct.
And that's what she did today, was essentially being like, I want all the attention. I don't care if Bernie endorsed him. I'm not. Like, first of all, no one's asked for your endorsement.
No, they didn't.
So who are you? You know, like no one, AIDS endorsing a candidate is not a thing. You know, but second, the fact that your candidate that you work for said something and you come out to be like, fuck what my candidate said, I gotta keep it real on these Twitter streets, that is the issue with this dude. He doesn't have, I've never felt like, you know, and this is one of the reasons I don't get mad at him. Like everybody else, oh, fuck Bernie Sanders and shit. I'm like, I don't feel that way at all. I feel like he's a good dude. But I feel like he's a good dude that isn't necessarily internet savvy, who doesn't really have a hands-on approach to dealing with his people.
Mm-mm.
And he doesn't really have an organization that gets in line behind him when he's like, this is what the fuck we own. Everybody, you know, he's not a leader in that way. He's always been the guy who's the odd man out, dissenting opinion, the contrarian. He's always been that dude. And I fuck with him and I think he's righteous in that way. But his people really don't fuck with him.
Mm-mm.
Like, his people don't fuck with the liberal agendas they talk about. They don't fuck with the progressive movement that they're talking about. They don't fuck with any of that, because they're the people that says, I won't take 5 steps in the right direction unless I get 10 steps in the right direction. And it's like, well, 10 steps is not going to be possible. Then I'll take 10 steps the other way.
Right.
And that doesn't make any fucking sense. But these are the people. These are, you know, when we started the show off, this attention that people get from being like, I'm the wokest one, I'm so woke, I'm not voting, fuck you. Like, that person, well, they also want all the attention, because you didn't have to tell me that.
Mm-mm.
You could have not voted without no one knowing, to have complete peace of mind. Nope, you needed everyone to know so they would come give you attention and be like, why are you here voting?
Mm-hmm.
And
fuck you. Interaction.
Yeah, they wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what his campaign consisted of. That's what many of the members of his campaign, many of the people that you know, have no little, like, you know, and it's sad because this was supposed to be a experience for people like her to gain some experience in this arena, but she blew it and she was terrible and she acted in the opposite of his interest in so many fucking ways. And even to the last day, even up to now, you're still undercutting this man who you claim was supposed to be the savior for America. Like, right. Y'all never respected him, so how the fuck was anyone else supposed to?
Right. And the thing is, if he lives long enough, he may run again. And guess what? If I was him, I wouldn't consider you.
Yeah, I mean, it was that, but see, him considering her in the first place was the thing that made me be like, oh, this dude's not serious.
Mm-mm.
Like, you have, like, the fact that she made a more staunch endorsement in defense of having Joe Rogan as a person that you want to almost treat like a campaign surrogate, like, having you writing that but then saying Joe Biden, who is like 75% of the way on the 100% of Bernie Sanders plans, that's trash. Like, you're literally, you told me a racist transphobe was deserved more grace, and we need people like him in the party. That's what you told me. But Joe Biden, who is adopting more and more liberal plans as he runs, that dude is trash, and we should just take Trump instead. Fuck out of here. He hired a person that voted for Jill Stein in 2016. Like, that's where Bernie's fault, that's where his fault lies to me. You just, mm-hmm. you got to understand people better than that. Let's see. Drake's Tootsie Slide debuts at number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
Okay.
Yeah, it's funny because
I, you know me, I was like, what, who? I mean, I heard of Drake, but not the song.
It's funny because everybody in my age group has a love-hate relationship with Drake.
Duh.
Every time this nigga come out with a song that is about crush the charts, every single time motherfuckers be like, this shit is trash, it's corny, Drake, oh, what a cornball, I hate him. And then I don't even really say shit to people because you give it some time and then everybody know the words and they be singing and dancing and they love the video.
It's my song.
They love the video. It's always, he's corny. He's a low-key misogynist. Nigga, it's rap. All of them are low-key misogynists. Who's not? Even the women. Everybody in rap is low-key misogynist. You didn't wake me up. I wasn't thinking, oh man, what a lovely man. And then, you know, he sings about how he hates women. I'm like, yes. And other niggas rap about it. It's kind of the thing in hip hop. But yeah, this is a song.
Black leather glove, no sequins. Buckles on the jacket, it's elite shit. Nike crossbody, got a piece in it. Gotta dance, but it's really on some street shit. I'ma show you how to get it. It go right foot up, left foot slide. Left foot up, right foot slide. Basically, I'm saying either way, we bout to slide. Hey, can't let this one slide. Hey. Don't you wanna dance with me? No, I could dance like Michael Jackson. I could get you the passion. It's a thriller in a trap. Where we from? Baby, don't
you? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why people hate that.
Oh, that's a bop.
Right. Everybody was telling me it was corny. And
that beat go hard.
Nobody fuck with it. I'm like, you know.
Whatever.
Just like porn. Nobody watching, but somehow the fucking ratings through the roof.
Number one.
I don't know how he keep popping up at number one and y'all hate this nigga. Like, I need, either y'all need to admit y'all love him, or y'all need to go ahead and like turn off your Spotify list, block him on your Spotify playlist, because something happened.
He can count from somewhere.
Let's see what else. Oh, Tiffany Haddish and Common might be spending their quarantine together.
Oh shit, now
Common got quite the roster of
ladies, though.
Ladies, okay.
He's all over the place.
Serena,
Erykah Badu.
Yep. That one woman from what was it, Marriage Story? Laura Dern. Dominic's favorite.
Did he date Nicole Kidman? Somebody said Angela Rye.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, he might be in there with.
He's like a Rainbow Coalition.
Yep, he might be caked up with Tiffany Haddish right now. During the convo with Tiffany Haddish, was she talking to Cedric the Entertainer, I guess? What was she talking to? Cedric the Entertainer. Without saying too much, she alluded to how she's getting by in her COVID-19 era days with the Chicago rapper. You know Tiffany gonna tell it. During the convo,
you know she is.
She mentioned she was quarantined with a friend who had a vegan chef cooking them meals and immediately turned the phone to Common, who ended up chatting with Cedric. That was exclusive because since we're on quarantine, I can't get my depot shot, birth control, so let's see what happens.
Oh no!
Oh man, she's so funny to me. The rumor that the two were an item has been circling around for some time. It all started in a simple happy birthday wish the actress sent the rapper on Instagram. The rumors were confirmed even more when Haddish brought Common as her date to her bat mitzvah. Plus, Beyonce's mother Tina Knowles dropped a hard cold hit on Haddish's Instagram post, which showed the two together on what looked to be a paint and sip date. Knowles wrote, "A beautiful couple," underneath the photo.
Aww.
Tiffany Haddish and Common.
That's a combo.
I'm gonna tell you something. That Tommy is a hoe. Okay, he gets around. All right,
he's slanging that thing.
All right, that is community dick. They are running through Common on the rig.
Word must be. He must break that back.
Mm-hmm. I tell you something, Common. New if you're session. Listening to this, oh, it's almost it's time. Oh, mm-hmm. Hold on a second. All right, hold on. Let me pause this real quick. That caught me off guard. All right, sorry about that, but I forgot what I was gonna say. Oh yeah, Common, if you're listening to this, man, hey, value yourself, man. You know, make these women wait. You out here just giving this dick away, man. What did Kendrick say? This dick ain't free. And you know, I'm not trying to slut shame you, but I'm just saying, Common, it seemed like, you know, you don't confuse sex with intimacy, okay, brother?
If you're gonna be a hoe, be the best hoe you can be.
I hope you're getting some money with all this hoeing, okay? Let's see what else is happening. Oh man, our boy is back in the news.
Okay,
who? Virginia Governor Ralph Northam.
Oh shit, what else he done?
He signs background checks, red flag, and other gun control bills into law.
Come on.
Democratic Virginia Governor Ralph Northam on Friday signed 5 gun measures into law, including a background checks bill and an extreme risk protective order. The slate of bills prompted a large guns rights rally in January, with about 22,000 gathering in protest at Virginia State Capitol. The legislation has also fueled... Wait, is this an old article? How could this have a gun rally? There's no way this had a gun rally in the coronavirus days, right? Let me check the date on this. Okay. Someone sent me this, but maybe it's not new. You never know.
He did something.
I got some more.
Okay.
But I want to start here. Let me just check the date. No, this is new.
Okay.
So thousands of motherfuckers. What? When was the rally? In January. Oh, okay. So I guess, because the bills were even proposed,
people
started gathering and protesting. And of course he went ahead and passed them anyway.
I don't blame him.
They've been a priority for Northam since he first introduced them in 2019 legislative sessions, and he made them an even more urgent priority in the wake of a mass shooting at Virginia Beach Municipal Building last year that left 12 people dead. Mm-hmm. Northam called for a special session at the time to debate gun control, but it was adjourned by Republican lawmakers without action after 90 minutes. Northam reintroduced the legislative package in January when his party became in control of both chambers of the Virginia General Assembly.
Come on, and got them bitches passed anyway.
On Friday, he signed an extreme risk protective order, also known as a red flag law, which allows for the temporary removal of firearms for people deemed to be at high risk of harming themselves or others. Right. Virginia now joins the 19 other states in Washington, D.C. having passed some type of red flag law. The governor also signed a bill requiring background checks for all the state gun sales and a bill that limits the purchase of handguns to 1 a month.
Come on through!
He also signed a bill requiring a person to report the loss or theft of a firearm within 48 hours or face a civil penalty of up to $250, and one that raises the punishment for leaving a loaded, unsecured firearm that endangers anyone under the age of 14.
Come on!
We lose too many Virginians to gun violence, and it's past time we took bold, meaningful action to make our community safer, Northam said in a statement Friday. I was proud to work with the legislators and advocates on these measures, and I'm proud to sign them into law. These common sense gun laws will save lives.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I get them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was. Hey, that's my nigga out here saving lives.
It's got a lot of power. It makes me feel.
Come on, can you show me one more time? I promise I won't let your wife stop you. Come on. Come on, do that spin.
Somebody get between him and his wife so she can't stop him from hitting his moonwalk.
Ooh, y'all see he kicked his leg up. Y'all see that?
At this point, he literally gonna be in blackface at the cookout. This is crazy. He also signed new bills expanding voting access, Karen.
Come on!
He signed legislation that repeals voter ID laws and makes Election Day a state holiday and expands access to early voting.
Bravo, sir.
Early voting will now be allowed 45 days prior to an election without a stated excuse. Previously, if voters wanted to participate in early voting, they would need to provide a reason from a list of approved state by the state. A separate bill expanded the absentee voting timelines. In-person polling will be extended for an additional hour from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Voters will no longer be required to show photo ID to vote. voter ID laws disenfranchise individuals who may not have access to photo identification and disproportionately impact low-income individuals, racial or ethnic minorities, the elderly, and individuals with disabilities.
He like, I want everybody to vote. I'ma make it a goddamn holiday.
Election Day is now considered a state holiday. The bill repeals the current Lee Jackson Day holiday.
Come on through!
Oh, nigga, that's the Steph Curry leaving the hand up after shooting the three, knowing it's going in. That was just petty. That was just petty. Out there in front of the Confederate bench and turned around and just
looked at him.
Did a shimmy. Like, oh my God. Oh.
He shook both shoulders.
That was ridiculous. Oh, you didn't have to do him like that, Northam. You didn't have to hurt him like that, Playboy, but I appreciate it, okay?
Come on! Spin for me! Check out, boy! Hey! Drinks on me! Drinks on me!
Listen.
Get that man the big.
He about to get the plate.
A plate.
Watch him get the first plate. We're gonna have to push some brothers out the way. Excuse me, move. Mm-mm, okay, mm-mm, you didn't do enough. Mm-mm, mm-mm,
mm-mm. He get the first plate.
Barack, hold on 1 second. I got to give this plate to Ralph. I'm gonna be
you're
right
number
back.
Two. You're number two.
Yeah, we got you, but I mean, come on. He done did more in the office in the last year. Yeah, damn, we repealed Lee Jackson Day. I hate that fucking holiday.
Right, it's dumb.
Which is established to honor Confederate generals Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson to maintain the name, the same number of state holidays. Voter registration will also be automatic for people getting services at the Department of Motor Vehicle.
Come on!
Voting is a fundamental right, and these new laws strengthen our democracy by making it easier to cast a ballot, not harder, Northam said in the press release issued Sunday. No matter who you are and where you are in Virginia, your voice deserves to be heard, and I'm proud to sign these bills into law.
He's scaring everybody, because you know what? The voting is about to go through the motherfucking roof.
It'll never be the Republican again.
Ever.
Because they can only win by repressing the vote in these states. Any state that allows everyone to vote will always go blue.
Right. Might be people that moved them. Yes! This what happened when he walked in there and signed that bill.
I hope he signed the bill and moonwalked out the door.
Yes! He two-stepped all the way to his desk, right past him.
But wait, Karen, that's not all.
It's more?
Today, the Human Rights Campaign celebrated the signing into law of the Virginia Values Act by Governor Ralph Northam. The law will extend existing state non-discrimination protections in public employment, housing, and credit to Virginians on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and several other characteristics.
Who got a hold of this white man?
They say don't ever show your black face around here.
His whole he doing a fucking apology. I'm sorry. I didn't even offend you, but I'm sorry anyway.
God damn. Well, I can't believe y'all almost threw this man in the trash.
Woo. Right.
Thank God for the black Virginians that was so smart and said, don't waste this.
Don't
we about to cash
this.
In all the points. Okay, they gave him a stack of Uno cards. It's like reverse draw two, draw four, reverse skip.
Pick the color. The color is black.
The color is black all the time. Oh,
he
man.
Cutting all the hearts.
In addition to sexual orientation and gender identity, the law also creates all new protections for Virginians in private employment and places of public accommodation on the basis of race, color, religion, national origin, sex, pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions, age, marital status, disability, and status as a veteran.
God, who was talking to him? Who was talking to him? Don't wanna see no blood, don't be a macho man.
my God.
Honey, he told her, beat it with your racist ass. You better beat it.
You know what he said, Karen?
You know, I was...
Come on!
He said, I'm not gonna stop till I get enough. I'm not gonna stop passing legislation. To freedom!
How many more days do I got in office? Woo! I can't come back again, but y'all gonna remember me forever. Hey! He good on any MLK Boulevard.
At this point, you know what? He gonna be cooking at the cookout.
Come on. I'm trying to tell y'all.
We gonna come in and he gonna be telling us how he used to be cooking back in. He gonna come in blackface with the fro on.
Y'all might be in for a treat. You know, back before the war broke out, I was a saucier in San Antonio. I bet I could call up some of them green. Yeah. Noodle some crawfish out the patty, yo. I made some crab apples for dessert now, yeah? Hey, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how he mm-hmm. gonna come in.
He gonna walk in there, but like, yeah, I just finished cleaning some chitlins and some hog mogs, and I'm good.
Oh my God.
He gonna know how to make the sweet tea, the lemonade.
Oh my God, this man, a hero.
Come on.
I like Loki. I vote for him for president. Not even joking.
If he runs, he motherfucking got my vote.
He moonwalks so we can run, okay? I would vote for this nigga for president, and absolutely.
And his potato salad gorilla.
With no bottle, with like, it would be like how these white people is with Bernie. I'd be like that with Robert Northrup.
Come on!
I'd be out here embarrassing myself. What's a little blackface, okay? He moonwalked with King, okay?
He moonwalked.
Y'all really gonna hold blackface against him forever? But I'm over it. I'm gonna be honest with y'all.
I don't know what y'all. Mm-mm.
He said he was sorry, and I really don't see what the problem is.
I forgave him.
Tropic Thunder, one of the best comedies of all time. I believe this is a problem. Who's offended?
What's a little bit of blackface?
Oh, I would be his dominant silk. Okay. I think I won't coon out for this motherfucker to just write bills us into a motherfucking oblivion. I mean,
come on.
A utopia. Oh man. I would sell out so fast for this motherfucker.
Quick and in a hurry.
Oh.
They're gonna fuck around and they're gonna get more people to actually move in there.
I give me a Blackface Wives Matter shirt. Like,
come on.
They'd be like, really? Really, Rod? I thought you was woke. Not until this man's in office. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Okay, we need to get this man in office. He the first black president. I said
yes!
it.
Yes! Yes! I would get me a shirt with like Michael Jackson moonwalking shoes and them sparkling socks. I'd be like, he moonwalked so I could vote.
Mm-hmm. He moonwalked us all the way to the polls, okay?
Come on! He moonwalked!
And he only getting one term.
One term. He gonna be known forever, ever.
Like, what's he gonna do after this? He might as well run for president. I'm telling you, I don't care about the Twitter nick. I'll turn my whole bio to just me and blackface. I'm staying with my brother in blackface solidarity, okay?
I stand.
I become his Cornel West. The dear brother Ralph is, you know, he's trying to talk to the people. He's against the oligarchs and the plutocrats. They're like, what the fuck happened to Rod? Sold out, brother.
I sold completely. I'm sorry, my brother, you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? Right. Last time I checked, you know, when it came to the history of blackface.
Mm-hmm. See, I always said it's nothing wrong with a little black face, okay? I wish everybody have a little bit of black face, okay? Last time I checked, all the people that did black face that's currently running countries is doing okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the one that are doing right, this man's doing good, that's two.
My thing is, I too have blackface friends, you know,
right.
So I don't discriminate.
Blackface is one of my favorite types of faces, okay? So, I feel like you racist, honestly. If you bringing up something as old as blackface against this man, it's like you the real racist. Think about it.
You the real racist for bringing it up.
I just vote for our first blackface president. All right. He did the thing this week.
Come on.
I don't even have nothing else to add, guys. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
What else is there to say?
Yeah, I'm offended that you're offended, right?
Right. Well, I never. You know, it's language like that. I'm in the community. All right, let's see. I guess we can end with some guest race, guys.
I'll be out there like.
sorry, what'd you say?
I'll be like Kevin Smart. I mean Kevin Hart. I'm over it.
Right. I'm over it. You want?
They bring it up, but I'm.
Let's move on. Why you want to move on? I thought you just. I'm over it. Mm-mm. Y'all bringing up old shit.
That's gonna be his theme music.
Mm-hmm.
He gonna start walking. Somebody gonna hit a boom box. That's what I'm gonna hear.
Mm-hmm. Like it's just y'all just okay. Y'all jealous of this man? He on TV in a wig with some big ass glasses on, like Diamond the Silk. Mm-hmm. Y'all jealous of this man, and y'all just really just hating, and there's a lot of envy. Mm-hmm. Envy I see out there.
I don't know why they hating, girl.
Mm-hmm. I think Ayala must have got hold of him after that blackface.
Somebody got a hold
down.
Of him.
She probably set him
you
down.
You have a responsibility to Ruby Dee. You have a responsibility to Harriet Tubman. You have a responsibility to Dorothy. And to Septima and to Rosa, whose blue veins were shining through her arms when she took that seat on that bus. They are the reason. They are the reason we sit here. Gladys and Pearl and had to walk in the back door of a theater so that we could get on there to dance. That's who you open your mouth for.
Mm-hmm.
You matter. You matter.
Right, man. You really gonna vote for this man for president after you did blackface?
Yeah, I sure am. The man got my vote. I don't see nothing.
So what do you suggest?
I suggest you just keep playing, man, and don't worry about what goes on at the top of things.
That's how I'm be talking.
Come on, I don't
know. Don't worry about what goes on top of things.
I don't know. I have economic anxiety. That's why I'm voting for the man.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about what goes on top of things, okay? Y'all do what y'all do, okay? But I'm rooting for all the black people face, okay? Oh, man. All right. Let's get to some Guess the Race, guys.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that is time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we asked our contestants today, Karen and the to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is racist. All right. Let's see what we got here, guys. A Georgia attorney has been killed after a golf ball hit his Mercedes.
Well, damn.
An Atlanta attorney has been charged by a grand jury with murder after he allegedly drove into a man who he believed had thrown a ball at his Mercedes Benz.
Oh, is that serious?
I mean, apparently so, Karen. I mean, I would say I was shocked, but it seems kind of par for the course. Brian K. Schmidt, 48, was indicted Friday on the allegations of murder, felony murder, and aggravated assault after his vehicle struck Hamid Jahangard, 60, described as a prominent real estate investor originally from Iran. Schmidt stopped his Mercedes a few miles down the road from his home in Sandy Springs, Georgia on July 30th to confront Jahangard outside a rental property owned by the victim. Mr. Schmidt's vehicle struck Mr. Jahangard, causing him to fall and strike his head. Mr. Schmidt remained at the scene and spoke with officers. Ooh, the confidence. He died 2 days later, blunt thrust trauma to the head. The fatal encounter stemmed from Jahangard accidentally striking Schmidt's Mercedes vehicle with a golf ball. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, I mean, this is the thing. Let's say he hit your car with the golf ball on purpose. You do realize there's no way a jury is going to be okay with the there's no defense you can give, even if he hit my car with that golf ball. Okay, and then you killed him? You're going to prison. Like, it's no...
Those things aren't equal.
Well, it's a Mercedes Benz. Okay, double prison? I don't know. The fatal encounter stemmed from Jahangir accidentally striking Schmidt's Mercedes vehicle with a golf ball. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution cited court documents reported that the suspect told authorities he was driving by the rental property when he saw Jahangir lean over a county trash can and make a throwing motion before something hit a sedan. A Sandy Springs police report list a golf ball as possible evidence. Schmidt told authorities he made a U-turn to confront the victim, who threw the trash can in the path of his, causing him to swerve and accidentally strike John Guard. Believe that if you want. But after reviewing security video and car video from a motorist who was behind the suspect, investigators concluded it was a case of murderous road rage. In the course of the investigation, the paper reported police found the victim's phone under the windshield wiper of Schmidt's vehicle. It rang when they tried to locate it. Jesus. Leading officers to the, so he was like, I just tapped him a little bit. And it's like, he was clearly hit hard enough to be on your windshield with his phone stuck underneath the windshield wiper.
Oh, so we end up trying to find his phone, call it, and it underneath your hood.
Right.
But you tapped him.
Right. Like trying to get a hole in one. He is listed in the state bar of Georgia as first admitted in 2015. So, Karen, guess the right. Brian Keith Schmidt.
Oh, white. I'm going
Karen's
white.
Karen's going with white. Golf ball white. Okay. Let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Didn't know he couldn't do that. White. Schmidt used his weather machine for a perfect golf day, only to have his car damaged. Type white. A hate crime. After practicing for the Masters golf tournament, Cracker White. He didn't say Cadillac, right? White. He was a boogeyman, white. White, dim white, so white. Like any golfer except Tiger, races in white. Up Schmidt's Creek, white. Mayonnaise colored bins. I push Miracle Whips, white. Shout out to Kim Doc. Mercedes, not Cadillac, and so quite. White races level activated. Oh, yeah, I guess. He was most upset at the victim for ignoring golf etiquette and not yelling for golf and waited around. Mercedes equal white, restricted membership white. The correct answer is he was a member of the Masters. He was white. They always try to say we the ones acting up in the golf club, but it's really these white men. Okay. Killing a motherfucker.
Killing him. Hit him so hard his phone fell up beneath your hood.
Dog, and then lied. And it was like, we have the footage.
Damn, sir. He didn't realize somebody was behind him. He was seesaw red.
The fact that he killed this man and then sat there waiting for the cops to show up, like,
oh, he was confident.
That's when I said, this a white man. Cause he like, I can explain. Okay. Listen, I know what you're saying, officers. Bleeding in this driveway, clearly with blunt force trauma to the head. It's a funny story. It's a crazy story, but totally justified. It's self-defense. He hit my car with a ball, so as you guys can see, I should be able to just hear. Call me if you need me to testify against him in court, because clearly this is his fault, and I will be needing to bill him for damages to my. Where are you putting these handcuffs on me?
He was confused.
Sir,
why
I am
you wrapping me up?
I don't think you understand, sir. He hit a white man's Mercedes. Did I not bring this
Did
up?
Did I not explain that? Why am I getting put in the back of the cop car?
This is Georgia, right? I thought I was among friends. Okay. Wow.
Well, I guess not.
All right, let's do another one, guys. Rocky Mountain, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's up straight from here.
Let's hear it for North Carolina. Come on and raise up. Take your shirt off. Wave it around your head just like a helicopter. Yeah. Edgecombe County Police deputies caught a man who allegedly stole watermelons in the Rocky Mount area. Okay. Official said in a Facebook post, when authorities stole some watermelons. Karen, okay, you see them big juicy watermelons just sitting out there on the field, you supposed to just ride by? I think not. Give me them cassava melons. All right. Might be on some Foghorn Leghorn. When authorities responded to the theft report Friday, they said the suspect was found stuck in a field with a truck load of watermelons.
God damn.
Michael Anthony Bryant.
Who was with him? Yogi the Bear?
That's more picnic sandwiches. When it comes to stealing melons, I feel like that's a that's my man Foghorn Leghorn.
Ah.
I say, boy, I pass me one of them cassava melons.
Oh, that's racist, but I didn't. You know, as an adult, I'm going back. That was actually a racist character.
If I had my list of all-time animated characters, I believe was probably racist. Foghorn is near the top.
Him and Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam to the top too. It's some people they just give out Gargamel.
Yeah, Gargamel. Yes,
Gargamel seemed like he didn't like the Smurfs because they was blue.
Come on.
Anyway,
racism. Stay woke.
Mm-hmm. When authorities responded to a theft report Friday, they say the suspect was found stuck in the field with a truckload of watermelons. Michael Anthony Bryant was arrested and charged with misdemeanor larceny. He was given a $500 secured bond and put in the Edgecombe County Detention Center. No further information has been released. Mm. Karen, guess the race.
What was the name again?
Michael Anthony Bryant.
I'm gonna go white.
Okay. All right. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Lazy watermelon eating monkey is black, a negroid, big lipped and ashy black, selling them on the side of the road black. Like, it's a blackout so far in the chat.
Yeah, I'm gonna say you make me question me.
Seasons the watermelon with Lowry's Sambo black.
I mean, I know it's watermelon, we love watermelon.
I'll go Northrum. So one person went white. Or you mean blackface? I don't know. So this is why the watermelon man can sell them so low, but Negro, he wants to taste the flavor of Negroes white. So you got two whites now. All right, look like people are scared to keep guessing. I'll go white, and white. All right, so now the whites are catching up to Karen. All right, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your final answer?
Mm-hmm.
The correct answer is he's black.
Let's hope we didn't fit the stereotype.
I know it's in the South, and that's the land of deep watermelon seeded hate, but that's not what it was this time, guys. Let me play the claw for those who went with black. That's him. You only see the back of him as they put the handcuffs on him. He had a safety vest on too, like he worked there. Wait, did it show up in the chat? Oh, whoops, my bad, y'all. Hold on, my bad. That's on me. I forgot to check to see if it went through. But yeah, he's a black. And he was sound like he was doing this shit for resale, because the truck is full of watermelons. Like, I don't know if he did this before.
He probably did.
You know, like, if this is just part of the plan.
This might have been one of his larger steals.
Mm-hmm.
Because before
they got stuck in the mud, so he couldn't even get away with the crime. Like, you know, take some watermelons out. That's the only way you're going to get away.
Okay, it flashed real quick and went back.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, here we go, guys. We were doing so well with my computer. Mm-mm-mm. Just one more time, okay? Try this one more again.
One more game?
But yeah, what state did this happen in? North Carolina. So it's our state.
Mm-hmm.
I know them watermelons was delicious.
Oh, you know they were flames.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, is it doing anything now?
Totally moving.
Okay. But yeah, it's just funny because I just picture him being like, I'm about to sell the fuck out of these watermelons up the street. And yeah, he ended up loading himself too much, overestimating how much that car could carry.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
He must have, good God. That's a lot of watermelons.
Look at the truck.
He weighed that, God damn, he weighed that truck down.
Yeah.
Ooh, he filled up the whole thing.
Like, if he would have just, like, it must have taken so much time just to even steal that many watermelons.
You know it did. Probably took him a few hours to do that.
He probably was like, I got all the time in the world. I'm about to take all these. I'm going to be out here for an hour just taking melons.
Mm-mm-mm. Wow, that's a lot.
If he had just taken, like, 20 watermelons, he would have been straight.
He would have been, that's right, because, you know, the watermelons do all types of shit. They wouldn't have thought twice, but you probably stole, half of a field or something like that. They're like, you can't do that.
I would have been out there like, listen, this is reparation. Okay, this is my grandfather plowed these fields, and he ain't never got a dime.
For him to get stuck in the mud, he probably had a few hundred pounds in the back of that truck.
Yeah, the other thing I would have been like, call my lawyer Ralph Northam. He'll know what to say. He gonna get us right on out of this. I'm gonna be moonwalking out of this prison in the morning.
Come on, he'll say today.
All right, let's go to the bonus round. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, double the points, double the race, and a bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1. Let's see if she can make it in the bonus round.
I'm gonna try.
All right. Let's see. Got beef? A Florida man throws a raw burger meat on a car. A homeless Florida man threw raw hamburger meat on the hood of another man's car for an unknown reason.
Ah!
Luckily, it wasn't a Mercedes Benz. You would have got ran over in the driveway.
Right.
Police say the car owner called them around 8 a.m. Sunday and said a nook saw Patrick Little throw his car. When witnesses tried to stop Little, he continued walking away and refused to wait until authorities arrived. The victim was able to hose off the meat from his car. It did not cause any damage. I'm going to be honest with y'all. And I could just wash it off my car. I probably wouldn't even call the cops. I don't feel like wasting that time.
Mm-mm. Yeah, but okay, all right, everybody keep you.
Like, I don't know the race of the victim, but I'm guessing white, because who sits around waiting for up to that? Victim was able to hose it off. Less than 2 hours later, a witness saw Little walking into a nearby wooded area. Police say they found him asleep in a tree line. He was arrested on disorderly conduct charge. Karen, guess the race.
White.
Let's check the chat room. Let's see, they had to do it. What they believe it was. Mm-mm-mm. He had the meats. White says Trey. Blackity black says June. I don't know if there was seasoning on the beef or not. Mad because his bath sauce wore off white. The meat wasn't seasoned white. White as fuck. Black. All right. I guess between black and white for a lot of y'all. Crazy white on white crime, the collar and the meat flinger. Joe Exotic's meat supplier. Damn. Aww. Black, Arby's white. The correct answer is he was white. And what's beef? Beef is when you're throwing hamburger in the streets. Oh shit. Beef is when you're hitting windshields with some meat.
Come on.
Beef is when I see you. All right. That's him right.
Oh, he did that shit.
He's kind of handsome for a homeless man, you know?
He must be a recent homeless.
Right? He got the Color Me Bad beard and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just John B. with a terrible haircut or something. But I guess he was slanging that beef, not that meat. All right, let's get to Sword Ratchetness and we'll get out of here, guys. That white homeless hit different. Dad still had packs of ground beef to throw around. at cars and shit.
Must be nice
not to eat. I'm like, you black and homeless, it's a little too serious.
Come on.
All right, let's see. Rapid City man threatens police with sword. Rapid City. I don't know why. When I first read Maryland, I believe.
Okay.
But when I first, South Dakota. But when I first saw that, I don't know how in my head it felt like Raccoon City from Resident Evil games. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, of course, Raccoon City.
Right, you
the
know,
home of Nemesis.
You know, my fake made up did Corona Corp created the coronavirus.
The Rainbow Corporation?
Yes.
Okay. You knew some words.
I thought it was Umbrella Corp.
Umbrella Corp. Yeah, there you go. I said Rainbow, so there you go. Umbrella Corp. I was like, I don't know, Rainbow Coalition? Who made this?
My bad.
It's all good. I didn't know either.
Yeah, play that game in forever, and I was joking about it, but I'm not gonna set it online because somebody might be like, they did. No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, they made a remake of some of them, I believe, and that's out now. People enjoy
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
They had a remake of Final Fantasy VII too.
Ooh.
April 8th at around midnight, Rapid City police responded to a report of a suspicious individual who was pounding on the reporting party's door. Once police arrived at the scene to locate the subject, 28-year-old Trenton Rattler of Rapid City.
Rapid City police arrest a man with a long samurai sword. CPD getting a call on Wednesday night and found a man brandishing a 2-inch blade. This happening in the 700 block of Indiana Street. Officers say the man, 28-year-old Trenton Rattler of Rapid City, did not listen to their instructions to drop the weapon. Instead, Rattler kind of slithered away. To disarm Rattler, more officers arrived with a beanbag gun, hitting him and causing him to drop the sword.
We will always respond to a situation like that, first with lethal force, you know, in our possession, deployed in a scene. But soon thereafter, the officers are trained and instructed to use force, if at all possible. So hats really go off to the officers that responded, especially the first officer who was alone for a while with this individual.
A medical unit was called to evaluate Rattler, who was making threats against officers. He is charged with aggravated assault on law enforcement, 2 counts of threatening law enforcement, along with 2 warrants.
And still alive.
Still alive.
Must be white.
Not about to say.
I didn't see his picture, though. So he could be a different race. I don't know. All right, that's it for tonight, man. It was a late show. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Me too.
I know it was a little serious in the opening and coronavirus, but I feel like Ralph Northam came through and saved the show, guys.
He did, didn't he?
He moonwalked us into some funny shit. All right, y'all, we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. No Walking Dead recap this week, right?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.